The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus experiences anew the temptations that Israel faced in the wilderness. As the Son of God, he endures the testing of the evil one. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Children may come forward for the children's sermon. All right, let's come up here and kind of form a little circle up here. So who knows about the Adam and Eve story? What do you know about the Adam and Eve story? That's very good. And what was the power of the fruit? That's very good. That's right. The fruit of knowledge, right? So the serpent told them that they would find out something. They would find out what God knew that their eyes weren't open to, right? But God told them not to open the box. But I bet that, that apple was a lot like this box. It looks pretty, doesn't it? It looks like it has something good inside of it. Does anybody want to open the box? Okay, well, we can't open the box. We can't open the box because what if I tell you right now that you're not going to find anything good inside the box? Do you believe me? You believe me? Do you think Adam and Eve believed God when he told them there was nothing good? Well, he didn't believe God. They didn't believe God, which is why they ate the apple. So this box may look pretty on the outside, like the apple did, like it had something good for them. But when they opened it up, they found out that there was nothing inside of it that was good for them. All they found was emptiness. And that's what happens a lot when you do something that your parents tell you not to do that might sound good at the time. Has anybody ever done that? Done something that, yeah, maybe your parents didn't like, but and it turned out to be a bad thing. Like if they told you not to ride the horse today and you fell off or something, for example, because they thought it was a dangerous day to ride the horse and you fell off of the horse. Well, that's a lot like this box. We find out that when we do things that God tells us are bad, when we open things God tells us not to open, we don't find anything good inside. Has anybody else ever done something you thought was a good idea and then you found out it was bad later? You want to tell me what that was? Oh, okay, so you thought it looked good on the hanger, but then when you put the outfit on, it didn't look right, it didn't feel right. You'll find out that there are a lot of things in life like that that look, you know, that look right on the hanger or in the window or look right to you when you think about them, but they aren't right. Let's have a prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you today for all that these children have learned about the Adam and Eve story and all that they're learning about life through you, through their parents, through their teachers. And we would just ask you to continue to guide them on your right path and keep them away from empty things. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody, you can go back to your seats now. Thank you so much. When I thought about Christ's time in the wilderness, I realized that it's a lot like a manhood rite of passage. You see those in different cultures, in a lot of ancient Native American cultures and a lot of current African cultures where they're still in tribes. And even in the United States, if you think about it, there are rites that you've had to go through to become a woman or become a man in the eyes of society. So Christ's time in the wilderness is an ultimate manhood rite of passage for him. It proves that he is ready for the challenges of ministry that lie ahead. As a youth, he prepares himself by studying and teaching in the synagogue. This is a constant show of loyalty toward his father's house. Later in his ministry, he will make proclamations against false prophets. He will stand guard against scriptural interpretation that is embedded in law and without love. These are also showing loyalty to his father's house again. And now, at this point, he has just been baptized and declared God's son, and he is sent by the Spirit to the wilderness. Here, Christ proves his loyalty to his father's house against its worst enemy, Satan, who he will face many times after this. So as a warrior would do, Christ fasts. Now he is mentally, physically, and spiritually armed for battle because these 40 days and these 40 nights that we hear about, these are times that he's fasting and praying to God. And 40 days and 40 nights are the Bible's way of saying a long time. This intense preparation makes him ready for the spiritual assaults that the devil attempts on him. So what is your way of preparation for the spiritual assaults that come upon you every day of your life? How does this first Sunday in Lent remind you to arm yourself for battle? Are you prepared against the temptations of this world? Jesus' fasting involved two parts: the removal of material things from his life and an intense focus on God and God's word. What does this involve for us? Daily devotionals, Christian music, Bible studies with family and friends, Sunday school, and other times spent worshiping God. We must be steadfast in our personal time and in our time together as a church community about these things. These things will give you the mental and spiritual strength you need to fight against temptation in your life. Temptation for you could be a variety of things, and they may not seem that threatening to you. For example, you may go to your favorite junk food when your stress level or feelings of sadness increase. Chips or a chocolate bar may not look threatening and like they are a temptation, but eating your feelings will keep you from making the life decisions you need to truly live your life in a fulfilling Christian way. God does not want us to live by bread alone, or by alcohol, or by cigarettes, or Doritos alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God wants to be our source of comfort when we are weary. How is God your source of comfort? God also wants you to trust him. We should not test God by throwing ourselves down from the temple as Satan asks Christ to do. We just need to know that God is there for us without needing to make God prove it. We do not need him to show us a sign that he is truly our protector. God has already given us a sign in Christ that he is our protector. Christ's ministry, death, and resurrection are the only sign that we need. Christ's ministry, death, and resurrection. I will say this again because this is a central point here during Lent, are the only sign that we need to know in order to trust that God will defend and God will uphold us. So how do you make God your protector in your everyday life? Do you give your struggles to God, or do you worry over them yourself? Do you listen to what God tells you about the purpose of your life? Do you make choices about how to spend your time according to God's mission or according to your mission? We cannot find joy, we cannot find fulfillment anywhere outside of Christ, although we may try. Here's another question. Who do you blame when something bad happens, like an accident or a death? Do you say that it was in God's plan for that to happen? Or do you trust that God is good and the broken world is the source of suffering, not God, who is our protector? Do not turn away from God in your sorrow and your struggle. Grow with him this Lent and understand that he is on your side. There is not a reason for many of the bad things that happen in life aside from the brokenness and sinfulness that we find in this world. These things are not planned by God. Many times people turn away from God. They are repeatedly told that God has given them bad things. The devil wants people to bow down before and worship him instead of Christ. And this is what happens. Our attention is redirected toward other things besides Christ when we think that he is to blame for our troubles. We can see this in the third temptation that Christ faces. The devil's desire, strong desire, uncontrollable desire to get us to worship him. However, the devil has nothing to offer to us, but God does have a plan. God had a plan for sin ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden after listening to the snake. God knew that we could not handle this new burden on our own. He did not want us to be separate from him. So he constructed the big plan of Christ's life to overcome every sin, every temptation of this world. This is why this scripture passage is so important. This is right before Christ goes and begins his ministry. He shows us how we should work to live each day of our lives in order to resist the temptation and emptiness that this world brings. Even when we do make mistakes, however, his strength, his perfection, is strong enough to keep us under his wing. Whatever broken thing happens in this world, it is not strong enough to get to us with Christ by our side. It is not strong enough to get to us with Christ by our side. I remember witnessing the death of a premature infant in the hospital last year. There is a pure evil around a situation like that where death takes someone who has only just started their life. The parents and medical staff are not able to do anything for the infant, and all they can do at that stage is have the parents hold the baby while the baby's oxygen is removed and they begin to die. There is screaming, crying, and cursing among the parents in the room. You can hear it down the hallway. You can hear it in the middle of the floor. And the hospital staff is also in the hallway crying because they truly care for this infant and have invested time into their care, hoping that they will continue to stay alive and something will be found to do. However, it seems that all hope is lost at this stage, but we can still find God among the shambles. The people there representing God's love, the parents, the extended family, the staff that are there caring for them, these are signs of God's love. These do not take away the pain. They do not give us a reason for the pain. It is a time for presence. not a time for words and most phrases people use to comfort others in these situations are trite and painful, especially when they say that the tragedy was God's plan. This was not God's plan. God's plan is full of love and joy. God's plan is not suffering. God's plan does not involve the sin, the emptiness, and the pain that is the devil's job. If during Lent or any other time you find yourself in a painful situation and you wonder why God does not have the answer to that question. God does not spend time creating situations like those. Christ meeting the tempter in the wilderness, however, was God's plan. Christ needed to be able to face the same tempter that we daily face as humans. Christ needed to make sure he could perfectly stand against the devil, like a strong warrior prepared for the many battles that lie ahead. The devil came to Christ as he comes to us when he was in the most physically weak condition possible. After he spent the 40 days and the 40 nights in the wilderness fasting, this is when the devil comes to Christ in his weakened state and tries to convince him to turn the stones into bread. He wants to make sure that he has us in a vulnerable place. He wants to use this to become our God. The devil wants to use our vulnerability to become our God. However, the plan that God has created for us is one that cannot be destroyed, and this is Christ. So when you are going through a tough situation in life or just feeling that life is difficult for you, remember that God is on your side. So the remaining question that I would ask you is, are you on his side?